Christopher. Sophomores are like the middlemen of high school. Not new enough to be tormented, but not old enough to torment. After our freshman year, me and Catherine toned down our wow factor. We came into high school thinking it was some kind of contest of who can remember the most about it in 20 years. Thinking that the shiny rhinestone tube tops and neon eyeshadow would make us more important. The people staring at Catherine never bothered her. She liked being remembered. She wanted to be remembered. If she was beautiful enough and kind enough, everyone would like her. And they did. They all counted on her. Sophomore year, we had gotten into darker things. Never Been Kissed had been traded in for Scream, Spice Girls for Courtney Love, the tight elastic fabric to jewel-tone knit sweaters dripping over our bodies, tight blunt bobs to untamed curls, and annual weekend going out plans into never leaving Catherine's room. Freshman year, the bitchy, pointless girls started taking an interest in Catherine. She started telling people she preferred Cat. Sophomore year, she went back to Catherine. I always called her Catherine. Catherine was done with all her friends. She didn't cut them off for good and forever. She would never do that. She just let the relationships fizzle out and didn't have the energy to maintain those stupid conversations that were so damn hard to keep above water. Talking to me wasn't hard. I would never tell her, but I was relieved those other filler friends stopped getting brought up. I fulfilled her. All on my own, I could fulfill her. I think I needed this to show my dad I was good enough for her to stay with me, and that he was fucked up, not me. I would do anything to watch a movie with her again. I want to watch movies with you again. Catherine's mom didn't like her cutting out all of her social life. She thought it was dangerous for us to be each other's 100%. This always made me scared. I couldn't give anyone else my 100%. I couldn't give anyone else my 60%. I gave it all to Catherine. She had my heart, and she was keeping it safe. Catherine's mom ended up making her join an extracurricular. I remember the day Catherine was telling me, we were sitting on my porch. She biked over to my place. It had been rainy, but I didn't notice. I never noticed the weather when I was with Catherine. She leaned her head into my lap. "Would I be any good at basketball?" she asked while squinting her eyes to avoid my reaction. I looked at her eyebrows to see how serious this was. Those eyebrows always gave it away. This was a joke to cover up the ultimatum her mother gave her. I let my bangs cover my eyes, playing with my denim pockets. "How many periods are in a basketball game?" I asked in a giggle. "Like three?" "There's no periods in basketball. It's quarters, and it's four." We both laugh, changing the subject rather quickly. She ended up joining the girls' swim team. She said she'd be following her grandmother's footsteps. Her grandmother was a racist, so I know this was just an excuse for choosing the easiest option. Practice was Tuesdays and Fridays, which wasn't the worst outcome. Although we lost our Friday night 80s slasher movie marathons, we still had 5 days together. But I still missed having six. If her mother never put her in swimming, she would have never saw Christopher. Christopher would have never seen her swimming laps in the pool, and Catherine would have never gotten in the car that night. The first time Catherine told me about Christopher, I remember clawing my fingernails so deep into my palm my skin broke. How could our kindred spirits be broken by a guy she wanted to fuck? We were riding the city bus back from the movies. We just watched some poorly thought-out romance drama for the sake of laughing at its foolishness. We laughed most of it, but there were moments I'd glance over at Catherine, her seeming very interested. We barely talked waiting for the bus. She was just smiling at anything and everything in her proximity. The movie was funny, but not that funny. I asked her why she was lollygagging like a child. She told me she was thinking about someone, some guy she'd met at the pool. Some guy she met at the pool? Was he funny looking? Why was she thinking about him? Why? She looked at her scraped knees while explaining it to me. I looked up at the glare from the mezzanine windows and saw him staring. She smirked while biting her lips. She couldn't even think about how this would hurt me. I was disgusted. Did you tell the coach? I interrupted. We both knew she liked his staring, but I had to lay out a trap so she could rethink this. She looked out the window. What would he do? He was just watching. And it wasn't like he was like 50 or something. I've seen him around before. No, she hadn't. She's never seen him before. You can be a creep at any age, you know. He was probably making his usual stop, checking out whoever. It wasn't like that. Jesus Christ. She muttered something insignificant. Catherine and I had fought before, but she never dismissed me like that before. My eyes filled with tears while driving home, making the red traffic lights, the laminated billboards, light up signs, and the tail of traffic blur. I wanted to pull over and tell her to catch a ride with the creep preying on her at the pool. I would never do that. Unlike Catherine, I would never let foreign variables distract me from important things. Us. When we got onto my street, she looked at me for the first time since she snapped. Do you think you can just take me back to my place? My head's killing me. I need to be in my own bed tonight. My tense face changed into concern. Why would she ask that? I have every type of pain medication a girl could ask for. My bed was just as much mine as it was hers, I shakenly ask. Are you actually upset at me? You know I'm just trying. She cut me off again. Jesus, Faye, I just have a headache and I'm tired. It's not that deep. I guess my feelings weren't shallow enough for her. I drove past my house, part of me tempted to just pull in and force her into my house. I knew that if I had just pulled over and made her talk about this, we'd be able to simply resolve this. But I didn't want to push. Maybe she did want to be alone. Maybe she was not feeling well. Maybe she was tired of me. I see her mom through the living room window as I steer into her driveway. There was two other women in there, none I'd seen before. Why was Miriam laughing so hysterically with these other girls? My mom was the funniest person she'd ever met. Why wasn't she just hanging out with my mom? This made me even more concerned for me and Catherine. Catherine snaps me out of my zoning out and analyzing. Faye! Faye! The door, Faye! I seize back into the driver's seat. I'm locking the doors of my car. I lean over. I'm sorry about earlier. I look into her eyes. She grabs my shoulder, smiling. It's okay. I'll see you tomorrow night. I love you. Kissing my forehead. She hollers goodnight as she enters the front door. We didn't end up hanging out the following night. She said she had a fever, but I know she was lying. I can tell when Catherine's not being honest. She had a lump in the back of her throat, and I could hear that lump in the back of her throat when she told me she was sicker than sick. I'm not sure what happened at Catherine's that night, but my only guess it had something to do with Christopher. The following Monday, I swung by to pick her up for school, like we always do. It was so sunny that day. I folded my visor down to block out the glare from the car in front of me. Asshole doesn't know how to park. And his bumper looked like it's gonna fall off. Taped on with some kind of durable maintenance tape. It's been 5 minutes and she's not out yet. I text her. It's green. Why doesn't Catherine have Wi-Fi? She's home. I see Miriam, Catherine's mom, walking out the front door. I roll down my window and wave. Hi, Mir. What's up with Catherine? She adjusts her blazer and walks to my car. She adjusted herself because she was about to lie to me. Hi, sweetie. Catherine's aunt is in town, and she just wanted to go to breakfast with her before school. Sorry about the mix-up, hon. This was a lie. Catherine's aunt loved these weird European candies that smelled foul. Catherine would never sit in a car with her. Why was Miriam covering up for this lie? Why lie? What for? Miriam kisses my cheek. Have a great day at school, she says as she walks towards her garage. I roll up the window and watch her smile. I'm so nervous. Why did she just lie to my face? She used to change my diapers. It doesn't matter, I guess. I would get the truth from Catherine once we were alone. When we were alone, nothing else could matter. She'd never lie to me when we stare into each other's eyes. Still knowing this would be resolved shortly, I couldn't shake this feeling without a coffee. There's a Dunkin' Donuts near our high school, Mir West High School. Catherine and I hated Mir West. I really disliked our town, but knowing now that this is the last place me and her were together, I don't think I'll ever be able to leave. I pull into the lot and place myself to the back of the drive-thru line. I swear to God, some people have never been here before. The guy in front of me keeps stuttering nonstop, changing his mind every other item he adds to his order. Me and Catherine make fun of those kind of people. I used to embarrass Catherine. I'd honk the wheel and then duck my head into my lap so when the driver turned around to yell, he'd only see Catherine. She'd pretend to be mad for a bit, but she always laughed along afterwards. Are you going to order anything? Or the speaker suddenly becomes a roar of the employee's voice bleeding into my memory. Jesus, I'd just become the very guy I was making fun of. Oh, sorry, can I have an iced caramel coffee? We don't sell that at the moment. Okay, jackass. I've been getting this for the last 2 months of it being discontinued because I know for a fact it's just because the employees didn't want to clean up the mess of the caramel leaking out of the machine. He was just being difficult. Oh, okay, well, then I'll take an iced coffee. I let him begin the rest of his generated customer service script, then interrupting, with caramel. An iced coffee? Add caramel. I can hear his eyes roll. A smile lands on my face. He asks me to pull up to the window, forgetting to tell me the price because he's so frustrated. An imaginary Catherine pops up in my passenger seat. You're so bad, poor guy. She chuckles. I know this is a combination of memories and what I wish was happening right now. Hey, listen, man, if you're going to purposely be difficult, I'm going to give you some pushback. That caramel iced coffee is a delicacy, and to keep that away from anyone is just morally incorrect. Catherine laughs, turns into a scratch on my window. I can feel his eyes watching me, the guy from the ordering speaker. If Catherine was here, I'd egg him on some more, but she's not. I roll down the window, and I don't know what to say. I just let him see me sweat. I've got to recover from this. Catherine used her lips to insinuate attraction. She used her lips like a magic wand. They tell you whatever you wanted to hear. Sorry, I don't usually stare off into nothingness in drive-thru lanes. It's just one of the new things I picked up. You can't keep focus when... What kind of music does this guy listen to? He's not wearing any merchandise, no t-shirt, no specific style, aesthetic. I can't read him at all. Catherine would be able to read him, and then she'd find what he likes and use it against him, but I'm stumped. He interrupts me. It comes to $8.93, he says, seemingly uninterested in my ploy to use my sexuality against him. Eight? For the iced coffee with caramel. Yup, for the iced coffee, $1 for the add-in. You're joking. You charged me $1 for a spritz of caramel? He nods his head amusingly. He won this time, but whatever. I grab my coffee and drive off into the sunset. Well, not sunset, but the 9 a.m. sun. It just felt like a sunset. By the time lunch period rolls around, it had been 3 hours since I'd heard from Catherine. Maybe she's still pissed about my reluctancy about her budding new fling. I'm just going to apologize and then she'll move on. We fight from time to time and this is just one of those things, I thought. I see her sitting with one of those old friends from last year, the ones that she said meant nothing. But it didn't look like she was telling her something you tell someone who means nothing to you about. She probably just couldn't find me and needed to tell someone. I reassure myself and smile. I walk up to her table, Catherine's filler friend greeting me. Hey, Faye. I don't remember her name. I smile and telepathically tell her I have no idea who the hell you are. She clearly wasn't picking up the brainwave. Catherine smiles at me. How old is that coffee? She's teasing me. Okay, this is good. We're good. Ugh, it's from this morning, after I had to endure some prick by myself. Thanks for that, by the way. I punched her side charismatically. She laughs, tilting her head back. What? Why did she not look me in the eyes? Why couldn't she look me in the eyes? This lie was important for her to keep. She wanted this to be a secret from me. Her background friend chimes in a funny remark about some guy sitting across the cafeteria from us. Who even gives a fuck about that, I think in my head. I interrupt her. Who drove you to school today? Her face dims, still significantly bright. This lie was making her happy. This is really startling me. My mom, she just wanted to stop by that weird-ass park we used to go to, you know. Miriam, sentimental. I smile with her. Okay, Catherine, I'll join in on this little lie. I need to find out why you lied before I can get angry. I don't want to upset you. Arguing and confronting you now is way too risky. Catherine's friend points out a blast from the past to us. It's Heather. Catherine looks at me, then her. She looked at me for guidance. Why would I know what to do with this? I'm the one looking to Catherine for answers, not the other way around. I look to Catherine in the eyes. Catherine smiles and changes the subject. Catherine's friend foolishly can't read a room to save her life. Heather! Directing her over to our table, she yells across from the cafeteria. This is why we only sit alone. Interlopers are way too much trouble.